Hi, I'm Ben Pilgreen, lead pastor of Epic Church in San Francisco, and I want to welcome you to the podcast. Our vision here is to see an increasing number of people in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. But whether you're listening in from the city that we love here by the bay, or wherever you might happen to be in the world today, I want you to know that I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and what He's doing in our Epic Church community. I hope you'll find this message encouraging and that it will inspire you to take your next steps along your faith journey. It is human nature to step into new opportunities and experiences out of self-interest. You don't need to feel guilty about this. It's just how it is, okay? For instance, when I stepped into a romantic relationship with my wife, Shauna, I did not step into that thinking I would be really good for her. If I were to make a lifetime commitment to this woman, her future would be incredibly bright. As true as that may have been, that's not why I got into this relationship with my girl. I got into the relationship out of self-interest. I got to be honest. Don't judge me. That's why you got into yours too. It's just out of self-interest. She was fine. She was fun. She loved Jesus, the most organized person on the planet. She had her stuff together. I, not so much, and thought if I got on board with her, my future would be bright. Everything you step into initially, you step into, except for you superstars out there, you step into out of self-interest. This might surprise you, but even when it comes to parenting, you know none of us think with our significant other, with our spouse, we don't sit around going, you know what, like I cannot wait to be sacrificial in the middle of the night. I cannot wait to raise a kid and make all the money I can and give them $1 million from 0 to 18 because we live in San Francisco. I just can't wait to do that. No, this sounds crazy, but you actually like, it would be amazing if you and I created a little human, right? You don't think about all that, do you, Jason? It's like, wait a minute. It's out of self-interest initially. I won't spell all of that out for you, but it's out of self-interest initially. Everybody with me, we're going to pass on our legacy. We're going to make our parents, grandparents. I can envision Christmas cards. This is going to be amazing. We're going to get to name a human being. That's how you start. When it comes to your work, none of you, don't play with me, none of you are like, I could make that company really go from the top 20 to the top 5 in America. None of you are like, let me think about the kind of commitment I could make to my next place of employment, and I'm really going to help them set the standard in that industry. None of you think that. You know what you think? I know because you talk to me. I'm like, just pray about it. Like, how much money are they going to pay me? How much fun will I get to have? Do they have unlimited vacation time? And if they do have it, do they mean that? By the way, if we ever try to pull you out of the corporate world to work at Epic, we do not have unlimited vacation time, okay? Just saying. I only do what Minnie tells me we have to do because it's in compliance with the state of California. But nonetheless, we'd love to have you if God moves in your heart. I'm joking, kind of. You don't get into the job for that. You get into it like, hey, you know what? How are they going to be committed to me? What kind of stock options do they have? What are they going to pay me? How is this going to look on a future resume or my LinkedIn profile? You guys, we get into things out of self-interest, and I don't want anyone in the room to feel guilty about that. But I do want to tell you this. Eventually, you have to start asking other kinds of questions. Eventually, I had to ask the question, am I committed to this woman and her well-being for a lifetime? Am I going to bring it? When it comes to parenting, you realize really quickly, oh my gosh, I'm not sleeping like I used to sleep. They're not as cute as they used to be. I'm getting up and I'm sacrificing and I'm going all in because for this human to thrive for the rest of their at least childhood, I've got to make a commitment to them. And I hope you have the kind of job and you're the kind of person some point in time where you go, you know what, I'm fully committed to this company. I'm fully committed to this organization. Because everything you and I step into, we step into out of self-interest. Whenever you stepped into Epic Church for the first time, you stepped in here out of self-interest. You did. Whether that was 2011, anybody from year one, 2011, I see a few of you, come on. That's right, they're still here. You can make it. You can make it. Some of you came 2 years ago. Others of you showed up this past fall. For others of you, today's your very first day, and some of you are watching online, and you're going to check us out before you check us out. We'd love for you to be here, but when you first show up to Epic, I want to give you a very appropriate question that you should ask, and I'm guessing you did ask. Here's the question you should ask. What can this Epic community do for me? Well, you should not go to a church if you don't ask that question first. You're not that selfless. What can this Epic community do for me? And I think there are great answers to that really great question. It can do so much for you. It can facilitate you encountering the presence of God, which I hope you've done today. It can give you a place to belong and to call home. It can give you a place to grow in your faith and a place to be cared for. But guys, eventually when you're no longer new around here, you've got to ask other kinds of questions. Are you with me? And what I want to tell you before you think I mean something else, I don't mean you have to stop asking the first question, but you've got to ask a second question that goes like this. What can I do for this Epic community? And here's what's crazy. If you'll start asking and answering this question with your life, you'll get even better answers to the first question. Like, Ben, what? Counterintuitive. I'm just telling you, if you will move on, once if you're new around here, all you need to do is ask the first question. But if you're no longer new around here, you've got to start asking other kinds of questions like the second one. What can you do for this Epic community? And before you start freaking out about what I'm going to ask you to do, you're like, Ben, okay, what can I do for this community? And you know this series is called Count on Me. You might be afraid that I'm going to tell you this. Here's what you're afraid I'm going to tell you. Everyone must be able to count on you for everything. Anybody feel like you're living that life? You think you're just taking care of all of us. Here's what you need to know. I don't mean that at all. No one, not even myself, is going to be able to make a commitment like that to everyone. But let me tell you what I do mean, and this is how the church goes round and round and round. Here's what I do mean. Some people must be able to count on you for something. You don't have to worry about meeting everyone's needs. I'm the lead pastor of this church. I'm not going to meet everyone's needs. But you do have to think about this. Some people must be able to count on you for something. So who are your people and what is your thing? Who are your people and what's the thing that they know, whatever comes your way, whatever comes their way, they're going to be able to count on you. A month ago, we did this series that really was impactful, just as we've heard from so many of you, on families of origin, and we called it Imperfect Origins. And there was a Sunday in there that I taught on this idea of loss. What do you do in your family? What do you do as an individual when you lose something that you thought you might have forever? And I taught out of the story of Naomi and Ruth. And I just said one little moment of a phrase in that message. And I said this, make sure you have a tribe, because if you're going to experience loss, you're going to need a tribe. What I want to do today is expound on the story of Naomi and Ruth, and I want to expound on the concept of a tribe in a message I'm calling Build Your Tribe. Build Your Tribe. If you have a Bible, or you've got the Epic app or some other Bible app, we're in Ruth chapter 1, starting in verse 6 through 18. In just a moment, I'll ask you to stand, but let me paint a picture for us that we're walking into, because somebody slept between last year and this year. Anybody? It was a month ago, but it's a whole new year, Ben. So here's the story that I want to give you the context for, and then we'll walk into it. Naomi lives in Bethlehem with her husband, and they have two sons. A famine comes to Bethlehem, so they move to the country of Moab. While they're there in Moab, both of their sons marry Moabite women, one named Orpah, another named Ruth. Her husband dies, Naomi's husband dies. 10 years after they've been there, her two sons die. And Naomi, it says, was left without. She was left without a husband. She was left without children. She only was left with two daughters-in-law, one named Orpah, the other named Ruth. And there's a reason why this book that we're talking about this morning is not called Orpah. Stand up and let's see why it's called Ruth and not Orpah. By the way, when we get to Orpah's part of the story, Ruth's part is more dynamic, but Orpah doesn't do anything wrong, okay? Let her off the hook. But it's Ruth for a reason. Verse 6, when Naomi heard in Moab, remember they're still away from Bethlehem, that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will not go back with you. We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. That's why it's not called Orpah. But Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back with her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Is there a tribe of people who know that you're determined to go with them, whatever comes their way? Be seated, and let's figure out how we're going to build our tribe. In a tribe, commitment is mutual. In a tribe, commitment is mutual. It's reciprocal. It's back and forth. And this is really important to distinguish because a lot of the relationships that you and I are called to have in our lives are one-way relationships. Anybody feel like you're in some one-way relationships? We all should have them. Jesus said we need to love people who won't love us back. We need to give to people who won't give back, right? We need to do things for people, not expecting anything in return. We're called to have those kinds of relationships. I have, and you have, probably a number of one-way relationships in our lives. That's the way it's supposed to be. However, that's not the way it's to be within a tribe. I have a one-way relationship with a lot of people in our church community. That's what I think God's called me to. That's my job. It is okay. Our staff is depending on me to lead them. I'm not depending on them to lead me. It's my job. But I also have to have a tribe. And I don't care if you're the CEO of this, you're the top dog in that. I don't care if you're an introvert. I don't care if you're old. I don't care if you're young. You need a tribe. And in a tribe, commitment is mutual. Do you have people that will go the distance with you because you're also going to go the distance with them? In a tribe, commitment is mutual. In verse 8, it says, Naomi said to the girls, "May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me." There's a back and forth between Ruth and Naomi that shows their commitment to each other. Let me show you something fascinating I haven't thought about till I taught on this topic today. What's fascinating is the reason Ruth wants to go with Naomi is because she's committed to Naomi. Do you see it? She's so committed to her. The reason Naomi wants Ruth to go back to her mother's home is why? Because Naomi's so committed to Ruth. It's one of those where, like, you go first. How are you going to do this? Right? And eventually we see Naomi relenting. She's like, okay, you can come with me. I love their relationship. It's not a one-way street. In a tribe, there are no one-way streets. I just said that. It's not in my notes. You should tweet it, though. In a tribe, there are no, in San Francisco, there are so many one-way streets. In a tribe, friends, there are no one-way streets. I'll serve, and I'll love the people God's called me to serve and love, but to be in a tribe with me or to be in a tribe with you, there's got to be a back and forth with the commitment. Does that make sense? So in a tribe, commitment is mutual. In a tribe, commitment is mutual. So many people in the world today, and I'm guessing perhaps so many people in this room, here's how most of us want it. And let's just be honest, and then we'll talk about what we need to do. Most of us want benefits without commitments or benefits before commitments. Can we just be honest? If you look around you, you will see this everywhere, right? We want to have amazing looking bodies just because we have a gym membership and know how to wear yoga pants, right? We're just like, where are the muscles? You've got to make commitment to get benefits with your body. Everybody understands that. But you know this is true in the world. Why do you think instant hookup apps are ruling the world for people today? Why? What do people want? Ben, they want benefits without or benefits before commitment. Can I get a witness? right? How many of you are like, hey, I will work a day at that job when they let me know every single thing that the next 5 years will hold for me? We want benefits without commitments. Others of you, you want relational benefits, right, in the romantic way without commitments. I have guys especially tell me like, hey, Ben, I don't want to just casually date. I want to get married. And I'm like, dude, that is awesome, but I don't think she will commit to a lifetime with you before you buy her dinner. Just guessing. Just like, I can't find a spouse. Chill. But I want to do it with intention. That's great. Just take her to dinner. That's all I'm asking. Ask her at dinner after you pay the bill, right? But we want this in our lives. We just want. You look around people who have deep, close relationships in this epic community, and you're like, how come they got the benefits, God, and I didn't get the benefits? They got the benefits because they made commitments. Listen to Ruth and Naomi. Listen to what Naomi says. Think about the commitment before or without benefits. Here's what Naomi says in verse 11. She's like, girls, return home. Why should you come with me? I've got nothing for you. Don't miss this. Ruth, Orpah, why would you come with me? There's nothing for you in Bethlehem. I don't have any more sons if you didn't know. And by the way, if I met a man today and got pregnant tonight, that's essentially what she's saying. Would you really wait until these infants grow up and marry them one day? There are no benefits in Bethlehem for you, Ruth. And Ruth's like, I don't care. I'm with you and I'm for you and I'll go the distance. I'm not looking for what's in it for me. Wouldn't it be refreshing to build a tribe where not every single person in the tribe is looking for what's in it for them? By the way, you do not have a tribe if you're a person who just goes into things for what's in it for you. You don't have a tribe. And I love this idea. What's crazy, though, for Ruth is because of her commitment without and before benefits, does she get some benefits on the back end? She meets and marries this guy named Boaz. She becomes the great-grandmother of King David. Eventually, Jesus, that little baby who's the savior of the world, is going to come through her line. I love this. You and I want benefits without commitments. We want benefits before commitments. God says commitment, then benefits. Step into it. Commitments and then benefits. In verse 14, it says, Orpah kissed Naomi goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. And I know you're like, Ben, I do not like clingy people. Same here. Some of you are like, Ben, the whole reason I've never joined an epic group is because I'm afraid of having clingy people. Well, I've got good news for you. Two pieces of good news with that. Number one, that will not be most of your experiences. Sorry for the one or two of it is. There are other groups. Number two, this Hebrew word that gets translated clung can also mean united. And while I know you don't need clingy people, you do need people that will unite their life to yours, their heart to yours, their mind to yours, their future to yours. Who is united to you? There's something that makes me really worried, and I want to throw it out there. And the reason it makes me really worried, two-pronged. Number one is because it's something I think super negative that will happen to us if we get into it. The second reason that it really worries me, though, is that it's so prevalent in the culture that you and I live in today that you might be leaning into it without even being aware. So here's what I want to give you. I want to give you a phrase. I haven't read this anywhere, so you can, again, trademark it for me if you don't mind. Here's what is prevalent today. We are living in a easy-to-opt-out culture. Let's say that again. We are living in an easy-to-opt-out culture. We have made opting out way too easy. When you no longer feel like loving your spouse, that's okay. It's easy to opt out. When you didn't get everything you wanted with your year in review with your boss, there are lots of tech companies. Just opt out. When you have a little bit of conflict in your church community, opt out. And when you have a little bit of hard time in your city, just opt out of your city. Anybody else feel that we have an too easy to opt out culture? Now hear me clearly before you throw anything at me. Some of you are like, Ben, I'm about to opt out right now. I'm going to opt out before you finish the sentence. There are times to opt out of all of those. Did he say all of those? Every single one of them. There are times to opt out of a marriage. There are times to opt out of your job. There are times to opt out of a church community. And there are times to opt out of a city. Just make sure you're not doing it at first sign of trouble or hardship. Oftentimes, when I read the scriptures, I'm reminded, Ben, what God had for these people, it involves some bit of hardship. It will probably involve hardship for you too. Guys, let's resist the idea that we're going to adopt this easy to opt out value. Does Ruth have an easy to opt out mindset? I mean, you don't have to know the Hebrew language to hear her voice rising with every sentence, right? Like, you don't, but Ben, I don't know, what does the Hebrew say? When she is, you can just imagine, anybody have a friend, their voice just goes up the more they get excited? Everybody have a friend like that? Some of you have unemotional friends. I don't know how they'll do for your tribe, but listen. She's like, Naomi's like, Ruth, go back. And Ruth's like, I am about to put my foot down. Naomi, I will not go back. Your people, my people. Your God, my God. Who's your God, by the way? Like, I am with you. I am with you to the end. And listen to this commitment. She's like, where you die, I will die. I mean, just like, man, brave heart underneath. And it's like, your people, my people, your God, my God. Like, I am with you. I'm going to be buried with you. Like, okay. And then she takes her commitment to a whole nother level. Listen to what she says. She makes a vow to God, not about her relationship with God. How many of us, and I'm not just talking about marriages, how many of us have made vows to God that's not even about our relationship to Him? She says, may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Everybody's like, wow, when I made my vows at my wedding, I didn't know it was really a thing till death do us part. She's like, I'm in all the way. And you need to know this, just like Ruth and Naomi discovered, we all need people who are committed to our future, regardless of what that future might include. Let me say it again. We all need people who are committed to our future, regardless of what that future might include. Ruth let Naomi know what you and I need to let some people in our lives know. Whatever happens, I am with you. Whatever happens, you can count on me. Now, don't miss this. Does Ruth make this promise to everyone? You can't make this promise to everyone, but you can to your tribe. She makes this promise, like, I am in. Whatever's ahead, Ruth, I am so in. I am with you all the way. We all need people who are committed to our future, regardless of what that future might include. You know why you need people that are committed to you, regardless of what's ahead? Because, friend, you already have enough people committed to you if things are going to be easy and there's something in it for them. Imagine if I told you today, hey, I need you to go find 5 people this week that are committed to you as long as your life is easy and something's in it for them. That's not hard to find. We can do it without leaving this room. But you need people who are committed to you when it's not easy and when there's no longer anything in it for them. It's a tribe, so it will be back and forth. There will be times they will be down and you will be the one giving to them when there's nothing in it for you. But is there a group of people who can count on you? No matter what's ahead for them, they know that you're in their corner. And let me tell you something that we've all experienced, but sometimes we forget. A lot of times the people that were in our corner when things were going well, we thought they were lifers. But something changed, right? Every one of us in this room has said, I thought we would have been friends longer. But when I changed jobs, or when I got out of the relationship, or when I left that city, they opted out. How do you know when you have a tribe? Like, okay, Ben, I want to build my tribe. How will I know when I actually have one? You'll know you have a tribe when they show up at your home without telling you they're coming. Like, Ben, it's 2020. We live in the city. I know, they will. I mean, they may be hanging out with your concierge till you show up, but nonetheless, you know you have a tribe when your dryer goes out and you assume they will let you use their dryer. This happened for our family back in December, and the reason it's a big deal is because this person is single and there are 6 of us. That's why I thought she was probably having her dryer open, you know? If you want to come use the Pilgrim's dryer, it's like, well, just get in line. It's kind of going every day. Oh, she lives by herself. She likes us. She's close by. I'm sure she'll let us use her dryer, and certainly she did. You know you have a tribe when after you have a baby, they bring you food. Just kidding. If you have a baby, everybody at Epic brings you food. But you know you have a tribe when they bring your favorite food without having to ask. Friends, you know you have a tribe when you're able to say the hardest of truths to each other, but in the most loving of ways. Yeah. You know you have a tribe when someone from that tribe shows up on the East Coast for your father's funeral, though they've never met your father. You know you have a tribe when you have every reason to leave San Francisco, but they compel you to stay. That's when you know you have a tribe. We have so many values around here at Epic. There's 9 of them, and they're not aspirational. We're leaning into them. We're living them out as best we can. But one of those values goes like this. Everyone plays a part. And maybe today you're like, oh, I've been looking for a church where I can have a part. You can have a part. But let me ask you this. How will you play your part if you are not a part of a tribe? Let's play a part. I want to play a part. I want to play a part. How will you play your part if you're not a part of a tribe? In Romans, the book of Romans is super weighty book that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. The first 11 chapters, he just lays out his theology. And then when you get to chapter 12, he starts talking about the practice of that. Verses 1 and 2 are about worship and offering our bodies and our lives as living sacrifices. And then you get to verse 3, and the rest of Romans 12 is really all about how we live within community. How do we live in the tribes that we're a part of? And I want to read you 3 through 8. Paul writes, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Let me give you a few thoughts out of this great text from Romans 12. The first thought is this: conceited people don't think they need a tribe. Verse 3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Why would that on pride and arrogance, why would that show up in a passage about how we're to treat each other? Because conceited people don't think they need each other. Listen, I know so many of you, maybe even so many of us, high achievement, high accomplishments in our life. You know what that makes you at Epic Church? Just like almost everybody else. You're not that special. Like, but Ben, I thought God, you are special to God. I'm just saying you're not so special. You're not that special where like you're way up there and you don't have time for the rest of us because you're really killing it out there. You're not that good. You're not that spiritual. You're not that successful. Conceited people don't think they need a tribe. Number 2, you can't fully use your God-given gifts if you aren't part of a tribe. Like, there's no reason for God to give you gifts. Gifts are for edifying or building up the tribe and the greater tribe that's known as the church. If you have gifts, but you aren't using them, there's no reason for you to have them. If you have gifts, but you're not in a tribe, no reason for you to have them. Ben, why? Because if your gift is encouragement and you're not in a tribe, who are you going to encourage? You're like, but Ben, in the AI world, I am encouraging so many people. I'm like living this life, and it's kind of like reality. You can't use your God-given gifts if you're not in a tribe. And 3, let me remind you of this. You don't have to do everything. You just have to do your thing. In this text, Paul does not say, if your gift is encouragement, then make sure you prophesy and teach and give and lead and serve and show mercy. He doesn't say that. He says, if your gift is encouragement, then you should show. Yes. We don't need you to do everything here. We just need you to do you. You're like, oh, Ben, I'm all about doing me. We need you to do the you that God has created, put gifts in, and redeemed you so you can live them out in the broader tribe. That's what we need you to do. Will you do what he's called you to do with what he's put in your hands? The last question really for today is this. Will you build your tribe? Will you build your tribe? Let me tell you the selfish reasons to build a tribe. Let me give you a few. Build a tribe so that your emotional health will be better. I promise it will. Build a tribe so that your joy will be higher. Build a tribe so that your loneliness will be lessened. Build a tribe because it will help you stay in San Francisco longer and you'll actually like it. Build a tribe because it will help you and Jesus be closer. Build a tribe so that when you get to May for the focus retreat, you actually know some people in the bunk above you and beside you. Build your tribe. We have created 45 tribe-building environments for you. Francis and Lindsay, they're both in the room. They have done a tremendous job, as well as our leaders saying, hey, I will use my gifts so that tribes can be built all over the city. 13 neighborhoods, peninsula, Peninsula, the East Bay, there's something for you. We have our first high school group. We've got one of our high school leaders in the room. We've got a college group that's going on. She's in the room. We've got multiple young professional groups. I don't even know if I'm qualified for professional or young, but we have two young marriage groups. We have a marriage prep course. We have a couple of women's groups. We have Explore the City group for the first time. We have Alpha, if you're not a Christian, but you want to know what would it look like if you became one. That happens on Tuesday nights here. We have groups in the morning. We have groups at lunch. We have a lot of groups at nighttime. For the first time ever, we have a dad's group. They're like, for new dads. I'm like, well, when I was a new dad, you weren't here for me, so what do I do with that? We have so many opportunities for you to step in. That's our part. Our team is killing it in that area. Our leaders are killing it with offerings, and days, and options, and all the stuff. Your part, though, is to make a decision that there will this year be a group of people that can count on you. Will you build your tribe? And understand this before we're confused. We're not simply building tribes just to build tribes. We're trying to build tribes that center or orient their entire lives around Jesus. Jesus has made commitments to us, and I think maybe the only human to ever make the first move, not out of self-interest, but out of the interests of others. He's moved towards you, and maybe today, not only do you need a tribe, but you need a relationship with God that Jesus has won for you. If that's you, don't put it off any longer. He's available. He wants you to come and find home there. And then he wants to put you in a tribe where that faith can begin to blossom and flourish and grow. Will you build your tribe? Let's pray. God, thank you that you've given us this great story from Ruth and Naomi about what commitment looks like. God, may we not be the kind of people who are just in it when it's easy or just in it for ourselves. God, may we make the kinds of commitments that are reciprocal to others in our tribe as we build a group of people, or as we step into a group of people who can become for us the very people who are going to shape our faith and shape how we do relationships, shape how we do our work. God, thank you for the tribe that you've given me. God, I pray that there would be mutual commitment that just rises up in this season of our church. God, the people who are new here, I pray that we would meet the needs that they're coming seeking. God, I pray for those that have been around a while that maybe this will be the first time they say, okay, you're right. God, I'm grateful for what this church is doing for me. I'm grateful for this community, but it's time for me to continue or to step into for the first time of making this kind of commitment to others. Maybe in this moment for you, I'm just going to give you three words to pray for. Depending on where you are, here are the three words. Courage, priority, and commitment. Some of you in this room, if you would just raise your hand and say, Ben, before I jump into this kind of commitment, I just need courage. Would you just raise your hand so I could just pray that courage prayer for you? I really need courage, Ben. This is scary to me. I'm nervous about it. I pray, God, that you would give courage to these people. How many of you would say, Ben, I am busy, but I do give my time to the things that matter most to me, but I need to prioritize my tribe. I need to prioritize community life. Would you raise your hand? I could pray that for you, even in the midst of a busy life that we all have. God, I do pray for each person with hands raised that you would give them this as a priority. If something has to go to the back burner, it wouldn't be their tribe. And then how many of you would just say, I know I need to make a commitment, but it's hard to make a commitment, especially if I don't know exactly the benefits. Would you raise your hand? I just pray that commitment prayer that would be worth it. Jesus, I pray for those that you would give them the commitment to see this through and that there would be this kind of incredible sense of, hey, one day there will be benefits because as I commit to other people and they commit to me, it's going to cause me to thrive. It's going to bring opportunity. I don't know where you're at today, but I pray that you will take this message to heart and go with God's help and his spirit, build your tribe. I want to invite you to stand as we sing. Not only are we building a tribe around here, we also have to be careful that with our tribes, we're not just building our lives on whatever we think is great. We're trying to build our lives on the foundation of Jesus. Thank you so much for joining us on the Epic Church Podcast today. If you would like to learn more, you can go to epicsf.com. I want to also encourage you to download the Epic SF app so that you can keep up with everything that God is doing in and through this community in downtown San Francisco.